Let's move on to daughters.
Daughters. We spent a lot of time on sons. Let's move on to daughters. So, sons and daughters in their unique and special way are a delight to us, right? Proverbs, or Psalm 144, says that these daughters are to be these polished cornerstones as they come into the teen years. So we want them to be wise women. So how do we do that? How do we begin to foster that in them? Well, just like the boys need respect, the main thing that daughters and girls need is a lot of love and security. They need love and security. They need protection. And they need to know that they're being protected. And daughters need that. And parents and teachers are designed to be there to protect them. Particularly fathers are there to protect them. But once again, if you're in a situation where, you know, you seem like that's a disadvantage, I believe God provides. He provides. You know, where there's a disadvantage, there is God's grace, and by His grace, these things can be overcome. How many of y'all, you mothers, are protective of your babies? Absolutely. So God works in that. But in an ideal situation, you know, you got a father there protecting and providing for his children. You know, you have a father giving his daughter lots of love, and daughters need love. They don't need criticism. They don't need the majority of your relationship with them to be a relationship of criticizing. The same thing with the boys. We don't want to beat the boys up all the time whenever they fail. You know, we don't need to rub it in whenever they fail. And I know all of us would say amen to that. But how many of us in the past have found ourselves doing that maybe a little bit, and maybe we walked away from that situation thinking, I shouldn't have said that. You know, so that happens. The boys, we shouldn't beat them up, you know, with their failures. The same thing with daughters. You know, they need affection, and it makes them feel secure as women. And that's true for adult women today. They still need that affection from their husbands. And the little daughters need to feel protected by their mom and their dad, and that you're looking out for them. And when they're wanting to push the boundaries, and you can say no. And because I love you and I'm protecting you, I'm not going to let you do this. You know, and that's especially true as they get older and boys start knocking and there's all of those sorts of temptations. You know, you as a parent and you as a teacher, you know, in this context can say no, and you have a good reason for it, and because you're protecting them. And of course, eventually daughters need to be trained on how to say no themselves. Men need self-control, and women do too, but women really need to learn how to say no in a world where they need a lot of protection. They need to know that there's a dad and there's a big barbed wire fence. There's a boundary, and they need to know that, and that gives them security. And so that's really important. And we want our daughters, we want the ladies in our class to, of course, we want them to be polished, like the psalm says. We want them to be noble. That's what's implied here in Psalm 144. This polished marble, this cornerstone in a palace. There's a nobility there. There's a polished stone, a loveliness inside and out. That's what we want to cultivate. That's where we want it to begin. So we want to teach our daughters to be lovely on the inside and have that work its way out. We want to teach our students, our ladies in our classroom, to have that loveliness that's on the inside. We want that worked out. So, and daughters, I mean, I'm a little more out of my element talking about ladies and daughters because I'm not one. So, but no, I know what the Bible says about a lot of these things, and, you know, I know a few of them. So, you know, daughters want and they need adornment. They need that. They want to be lovely. They want to be loved. So we need to bestow on them in the same way that we give the boys respect and admiration. We need to bestow on our young ones, our little girls, love and security, right? We want them to love their calling. We want them to be domestic. We want them to love domesticity. We want them to love their household. And moms and female teachers, you guys have to love it too in order to convey that to your daughters, to maybe I'll call them the classroom daughters, I don't know. You have to have a high view of your calling so that this calling can be passed on to them and for them not to feel like, well, I guess this is all you can do, you know. And I mean, that's pervasive in the culture. You know, a woman that stays home, a wife and mother that stays home with her children and stays home and manages and tends the household, well, I guess this is all you can do. That's what the Christians say. That's all you can do. No, we have to give them a different idea. No, you get to do this. This is a wonderful thing. This is important. You know, we have to equip them to love what they're called to do and to love to be skillful in it. You know, this means that moms and teachers need to educate these little girls in this. And, you know, it seems like there are people out there in the Christian community who think only boys need to be educated and the girls don't need it. You know, there's some pretty extreme conservative Christian groups that believe this way, you know, family oriented groups that believe this way, that the boys need to be educated because they're the ones that are actually going to go out into the world. The women are going to stay home and do domestic things. They don't need the same Christian education that the boys do. And that's totally not true. I disagree with that wholeheartedly. I mean, think about this at home. Who usually teaches K-4 to fifth grade in the home? Well, y'all do, but let's say it's a homeschool situation. Mom does. Yeah. You know, who usually homeschools? It's not the man. It's the woman. It's the wife. It's the mom. You know, the women are usually the ones who are teaching the little ones Latin and Greek and math. So, you know, don't you think the teachers should know a little bit of that beforehand? Absolutely. So, you know, especially y'all, don't y'all think y'all should know that a little bit beforehand before you jump into a classroom and teach students? You know, at least stay one day ahead of them, right? So y'all need that education. The daughters need to be educated, you know, not just in the domestic arts, which we definitely need a lot more training in that, because I think the ball has been dropped in that in major ways over the last 100 years. But they also need training in mathematics. They need training in languages. They need training in Bible, all that stuff, theology, because that helps with all the other aspects of a woman's calling, just like it does with a man's calling. Right? Now, look, I don't know much about this firsthand, but if you're trying to, y'all know way more about this than me, like take sewing or crocheting. Let's say you're trying to sew or crochet something with certain dimensions, and it'd be pretty important for the girl to know some math, right, in order to do that. You know, particularly probably formulas on area and perimeter, and how's she going to get that knowledge, you know, for her calling without some sort of formal training, right? Dad's working. Somebody's got to do the homeschooling or the teaching in the Christian school. So, you know, she needs to be educated in that formally. You know, we don't want airheads for girls. We don't want that. You know, we don't want fussy daughters either. You know, fussy in the feminine bad sense. Maybe y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, fussiness, femininity in a negative sort of way. No frilly and fussiness. We don't want that. No, we want some resilient, hard-headed Christian women who understand their calling and their significance in God's kingdom and in our culture. You know, we want resilient women. We don't want, you know, I'm not going to touch that raw chicken because it's gross. You know, that sort of thing. I can say that. She gives me permission to say that because she's grown in that. Now she debones chicken. So, amen. You know, I'm just giving one example, or you know, dirty laundry, or dealing with, you know, muddy children, or poopy diapers. And, you know, some women, you know, they've been given enough resources and, you know, been given enough money to pay somebody else to deal with all that dirty work while, you know, she plays the role of desperate housewife all day. I don't know. You know, that sort of thing happens. And we don't want to raise up girls to be that way. You know, we want them to understand their calling and to, just like the men do, you know, get their hands dirty in the midst of that calling, you know. That's because it's super important. what kind of things will hinder our daughters? Well, I said earlier, criticism, undue criticism, will hinder your daughter big time, will hinder your students big time. You know, I'm sure many of you know that feeling of how much you want your parents' approval. We all want that. We want our parents to approve of us and to like what we're doing and to be happy with us as people and what we're doing in our lives. You know, you really want your parents to approve of you. So often, parents don't approve. It's really sad. They don't. And, you know, maybe they don't approve of the education choices for your kids. Maybe they don't approve of what God has called you to do here at CCA. You know, you could make a lot more money at that other school teaching than here. You know, stuff like that. Maybe they don't approve of your Christian life in general. Maybe they're not Christians and they don't approve of the way you live your life or the way you raise your kids. Maybe they don't approve of the way you discipline your kids. A whole bunch of things like that. But I mean, even though you disagree and you're faithful to the Lord and His calling, no matter what they say, you still want your parents to approve your life, right? You still want that. So you don't ever want your children to feel like they can never measure up, like they can never do anything to really please you. You don't want that. We don't want that for our children. We don't want that for our students. And this is especially true for daughters. Sons too, but in a different way, but definitely daughters. They need your approval. They need it. They need approval. Just like the boys need your respect, the girls need your approval. So you don't want to be critical, making them feel like that they almost did it, but not quite. You know, even if they did the best they could. So if we're critical, it just teaches our kids to be critical. You know, how many things that you think back, you know, like, I'm not saying to really spend time doing this, but I'm sure it's come up. Like, how many of you have thought, man, I really didn't really like the way my grandparents and parents did this and raised me in this certain way. And it's not godly. I'm going to attempt to change that. And then sometimes you find yourself doing the exact same thing that your parents and grandparents did in some ways, acting just like them. And it's like, oh, man, you feel so discouraged. So, if we're critical or if we've been lived a life where our parents have been critical of us, it's really easy for us to share that default position and be critical of our kids, always pointing out the negative instead of the positive. So we have to be careful of that. We have to ask the Lord to help us with that and to help us to have a change of heart and to change our behavior to where our default position is not criticism, but it's edifying and building them up and encouraging them. All right. So, and obviously, if they sin and disobey and they do these sorts of things, we're not to just flatter them, like I said yesterday. But neither should we have a life consistently like criticizing them and just making them feel like they just can't measure up. So we have to really analyze that and make sure that we're doing right by our daughters and our girls in our classrooms with that. The other thing that teachers and moms are tempted to do to daughters is to overload them with domestic duties. Okay? Now, I know this is the teacher training, but we have other families listening in, so this works for the home, too. So we don't want to overload our daughters with domestic duties. Now, we want to instill a love and an appreciation for domestic duties, but if we overburden them with it while they're young, they're going to hate it when they get older. You know, I've heard this story time and time again where these little girls come from a large family and they're the older ones in the larger family. And they are tasked with, they pretty much do all the responsibilities that the mother has been tasked to do. And the mom just kind of passes that off on them to keep the household running while they do other things. And I found that, you know, girls that grow up in this, and it hasn't been corrected, they get older and they say, I don't want a large family. Like, I don't, because of this and this and this, I don't want to do that. I don't even want to have kids. I want to wait 5 years before I have kids. You know? Yeah, it wasn't a joy. The household wasn't a joy and a blessing to them. You know, they were overloaded with too many of the responsibilities that mom has too young. Mom basically abandoned much of her post and just shoved that onto her daughter, you know, maybe with good intentions, maybe like, you need to learn these things. So here they are, you know, and a 12-year-old and a 13-year-old is not ready to handle all of that. They don't have the maturity or the resilience and endurance necessary to be able to do that. You know, so we have all these complaints from these sorts of families because something was lost in the education, something was lost in the training, and they had so many domestic duties, and they felt so imposed on by the sheer numbers of little siblings. Now they maybe only want one child, or they don't want any children at all, and that's really sad. And I hope, you know, in these situations I'm thinking of, I hope that desire changes as they get older. But overloading them with the domestic world caused them to have a low view of it and not like it. And so I think moms need to bear their own responsibilities and not shove all of it on their little girls. This is particularly a warning to those who have large families, and maybe for some of y'all who are striving to have that large family. Let's be careful not to do that. And let's be careful not, I guess, to less extent in our classrooms too. There's not really as many opportunities to overload the girls with a million things, domestic duties. The classroom, it's not the home. But I think all of these things kind of run together, you know. We need to just be careful of that. Moms need to be careful of that. Dads need to ensure that mom is not doing that with their daughters. You know, well, you watch your brother while I go do these other things, you know, and they're watching them 24/7. They're doing the disciplining. They're doing the spanking. No. That is not, that's older sister does not have authority over those younger siblings to do those sorts of things. So we have to be wise. We want our daughters to get, we want them to get the experience at home, but we don't want to overload them with all the burdens that they weren't meant to carry at a young age. Does that make sense? Yeah. So if we have all of this in mind for our daughters, like our sons, that we expect great things from them, we expect great things from them too. In turn, we want our daughters to be looking for a husband who will be easy to follow. We want our daughters to look for a husband that's going to be easy to follow for all the right reasons. Okay. They shouldn't even be thinking about a guy unless they respect him more than they respect their own father. If he's a Christian man, if he's an upright man, if he's respectable, right? And that's what I want for my daughters. I want my daughters, if you're going to think about marrying a man, you need to respect him more than you respect me. I heard one story, one dad tell his daughters this, and they're like, oh, that's impossible. There's no way. Because they respect their dad so much. You know, how can we do that? You know, and of course, you know, a man you can respect at age 25 is going to look different than a man at age 45 as far as respectability, right? But, you know, because obviously a man at age 25 is not going to have it all together like that man, that Christian man who's been diligent for years and years and years. And that respectability is going to look different. But I think if you see that potential of respectability, you see that potential of like, oh, well, he's not entirely sure where he's going, but I see his character and I see that he's following the Lord. I want to follow that guy. You know, if we can cultivate that in our daughters and have that standard for our daughters, I think we'll be going in a good way, right? You know, we want our daughters to have a man that they could easily submit to, and it's a joy to submit to. So if the daughter can't respect a suitor as much as her respectable Christian father, then the discussion stops right there in my mind. So it's understandable that, you know, if his calling is not figured out yet. I mean, who had their calling figured out at 25 years old? There's some, but the majority, maybe Jordan is, but I don't know. You know, who knows? You know, you're on this road and you're doing this, but, you know, at the same time, it's going to look different, you know. But you want to, the daughter and her father needs to know if this man loves Jesus, first of all, and, you know, he wants to know what the Bible says about all of life, and if he's Christ-like in his attitude and in his demeanor, and you can respect him and submit to him and follow him, then with dad's approval, we're good to go. You know, we want our daughters to have that same idea, to have that same standard. And so you want your daughters to be, and your students and your classes, to be the kind of women that require men to stand up tall for and not slouch. Okay. You know, and that comes from teaching them. It comes from training them to be the kind of women who will be a great asset for a godly man. You know, having a high standard of godliness and high expectations for academics as well as for domesticity, these kinds of things. Having that right perspective and being excited about what God is calling them to do. And so when we love our daughters, when we bestow on them, when we make them feel secure, and dad or mom is there saying no, and if I'm going to protect you, you know, they feel loved, they feel secure, and the sons feel respected, and they're given opportunities, and they're not held back. That makes for loyalty to us, and they're going to be loyal to us. They're going to be faithful to us, and ultimately to Christ. You know, if we do this with the Lord's blessing as parents and as teachers, where, you know, whenever these children finally are of age and they get to establish their own households, they're not going to go out there and abandon the faith. They're not just going to run off and leave the church. You know, they're going to be loyal. They're going to be loyal to their parents. They're going to be loyal to the church. They're going to be loyal to you as a teacher. And, you know, if they stick around, you'll be able to see them throughout their entire lives, you know, at least until you die, and with them flourishing and them, you know, you may see some of these children's kids. Isn't that weird to think of? That's crazy. That's crazy. You know, we'll all be old and gray by then. But still, huh? Could be. Yeah, if I'm not retired yet, sure. That's definitely the case. Hopefully, maybe some of them will be teachers and administrators here. And you know, the school will look totally different with, you know, 500 students. Who knows? I want all that. So, but at the same time, we have to, as the people building the foundation, we have to stay the course and be faithful. And we have to know what's expected of us as teachers, what's expected of us as parents, to be able to prepare our students to live as godly men and women. And Proverbs 17:6 says this. It says, "Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers." So it says the glory of children are their fathers. So we want our children to be able to amen that. Amen. And to have a view towards children, their children's children being the glory. So now in junior high age, sometimes you think, well, I had to put a lot of faith in these kids to do that, because some of them are just knuckleheads sometimes. Right? Aren't we? I'm still a knucklehead sometimes. So, but it takes faith, and it takes the eyes of faith, and but it's an exciting time, and you want to remember their frame, you want to remember where they are, and not be too hard on them, expecting too much, but at the same time, you want to give them responsibilities and things that they can grow into, and you know, they don't trust themselves quite yet, which is why, you know, at least in junior high, we get a million questions for everything. You know, during a test, a million questions. At least the first 3 months, a million questions. I'm like, this says to write these number, to write 100 words for this. Is it okay if I write 98? You know, just questions like that. Like, you're missing the whole point. Like, yes, that's fine. So they're not very sure of themselves yet. So they ask a ton of questions. So we have to help them. You know, one thing I did, I think I said this the other day on one test. I'm like, all right, part of the test, you will lose some points if you ask me questions. Do not ask me questions. The directions are clear and as plain as they can be. Just do your best. Trust your judgment. You have judgment. You have more than you think you do. You have higher and better reasoning skills than you think you do. So read the directions, comprehend them, and then obey. Do it. And don't ask me questions. Okay? And they all did well. You know, they just needed that boost of confidence. I can do this. I can read and comprehend a test. So, you know, that was part of what I did. So, you know, we want them to trust their own judgment. And, you know, if their judgment has been trained by God's word. If they haven't been trained by God's word, no, we don't want you to trust your judgment. You need to be retrained. But that's not the case here at school. We want them to have the courage, if they're not so sure what the right way is to go, to make decisions, even at the risk of making a wrong one. Okay? You know, if it's your responsibility to make a decision, you have to make a decision. People are relying on you to make this decision. And you sought counsel. You've sought God's word. And you're just going to have to go for it. It's going to take risk. So we want them to lean into taking that risk. Because, I mean, things are always going to go bad if you never do anything at all, right? A decision has to be made. So we have to keep reassuring them of these things. And that's especially true through all of your grades, especially in Anna's grade, as they start to transition to more of those having to make some of those logic connections. They're just be like, you know, should I do? I mean, you get the 30 questions too for everything. Yeah, all y'all do. So yeah, we need to just help them and reassure them. And so we want, just to wrap things up, you know, we want mothers and fathers to be able to say, as for me and my house, we serve the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
We want to serve the Lord. We want our children on board saying the exact same thing. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. The Guillory household will serve the Lord. You know, all of your households will serve the Lord. We want our children to willingly follow us, joyfully follow us in that. We don't want to drag them kicking and screaming. There may be seasons where we do have to drag them kicking and screaming, but at the end, by the time at least they get to the logic stage, we want them willingly following us in that and trusting their teacher and trusting their mom and dad in that. And we have the job to help them to do it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this awesome charge and responsibility that you've given to us. And Father, it's so easy to feel so small in light of this. This huge responsibility. But Lord, you've given it to us, and you are a big God, and you would not have given us this responsibility if you didn't think we could obey you in executing it, and we couldn't obey you as we rely upon you to do it. So we'll just humble ourselves right now, Lord, to you and say, we cannot do this without you. We need your blessing upon this school. We need your blessing upon each of these classrooms, each and every student, Lord. May your grace and blessing, may your face shine upon these students and upon us as we obey you in all that you've commanded in the area of education and in the area of parenting and in our households. Father, help us to be faithful and obedient in all that you've called us to do. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.